Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Good morning. You're listening to WILL AM 580. Stay tuned. International news from the BBC World Service is coming up at 9 o'clock. But first, with the pre-opening market report, here's Dave Dickey.
Thank you very much, Chris, and good Monday morning, everyone. Japan is relaxing restrictions on U.S. beef imports that had been in place due to fears of mad cow disease. Japan's foreign ministry announced today that Japan and the U.S. have agreed that imports of beef from cows up to 30 months old will be allowed, up from the current 20-month age limit, effective February 1st. The change matches international standards and applies to beef imports from the U.S., Canada, France, and the Netherlands. Japan banned U.S. beef imports in 2003. In 2005, Japan allowed imports of beef from the U.S. 20 months or younger. The Commerce Department today says that orders for long-lasting manufactured goods increased in December. Overall orders for durable goods were up 4.6% last month from November to a seasonally adjusted $230.74 billion. Brazilian Agricultural Consulting Group, Cefras, has raised its estimate for the 2012-13 soybean crop to 84.69 million metric tons. That's up from its previous estimate of 84.31 million tons. And private exporters reported to USDA this morning export sales of 220,000 metric tons of soybeans for delivery to China during the 2013-14 marketing year. The 2013-14 marketing year for soybeans begins on September the 1st. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is 13,904. It's up 8.5 points. The NASDAQ is at 3156. It's up almost 7. And the S&P 500 is at 1501, and it is down just over 1 point. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
A week of weather extremes will likely be impacting the Midwest as we move out over these next few days. The main reason for that is a strong region of very warm air that's present out there this morning that will have to give way to another Alberta Clipper, as they call it in some locations, where temperatures will get much colder coming into the region from the northwest. Much of the change that's being advertised will come rather sharply and will make a significant difference to many areas across the region, and it will come with precipitation that will be most significant in the central and eastern portions of the Midwest, leaving some of the northwestern parts of the Corn Belt still suffering from dryness. We have temperatures out there this morning that are just downright balmy in many locations, with 30 degree morning temperatures being noted all the way up into the upper parts of the Midwest. A lot of 50s, 40s being noted in many locations across central and southern sections. And of course, anytime you get this kind of warm up to take place when it's been so cool, you get a lot of fog development, and that seems to be the case this morning across a big part of the Midwest. Well, today we'll likely see precipitation from the weekend precipitation event winding down in Michigan, Ohio, and Indiana. Precipitation in those areas will diminish as we go forward through the day. The radar continues to suggest that the precipitation is advancing more and more out of the region. As we get into the afternoon today, a little bit of a break will likely take place in some of the precipitation. Now, we are expecting to see another disturbance impacting the region as we move forward through the next 2 days. The next disturbance, though, will reinforce the warm air initially, so tomorrow will still be a very balmy day across a big part of the Midwest. But conditions will begin to change as we move through tomorrow evening and on into the middle part of this week. The odds are very good that we'll see much colder air dropping into the north central parts of the country, and as that colder air hits, the moisture that's present across the Midwest, we'll likely see an enhancement of precipitation in many areas. The key is how quickly will the cold air settle into the region, and can we manage to get some significant moisture to occur in the northwestern part of the Corn Belt? The answer to that is probably not very good. We do expect to see some snowfall across the northwestern portions of the Midwest, but I'm still not convinced that we'll see enough volume of moisture across the region to make much difference to the overall drought. The precipitation will be somewhat disorganized, and we'll likely see it not only overnight tonight, but during the day tomorrow in the northwestern areas. We'll see it mostly starting off as a wintry mix of precipitation in the Dakotas, Minnesota, and Wisconsin, and as time moves forward, we'll likely see it all switch over to snow as the colder air begins to filter into the region. Temperatures will get downright nippy, in fact, extremely cold in the northwestern portions of the Corn Belt as we get into the middle part of this week. Temperatures on Thursday morning will likely drop into the negative teens and negative 20s again across parts of the Dakotas and Minnesota, and sub-zero readings may work their way southward into portions of Iowa and maybe even northern Missouri if we can get the cold to push far enough to the south and parts of northwestern Illinois. Now, I think most of the coldest air will stay just a little bit to the north of that, but nevertheless, it'll be quite a temperature contrast there after readings here this week being so warm early, at least in the period. As we get into the latter part of this week, though, we will see that colder air overtake the region, and as the cold high-pressure system settles into the region, the precipitation will cease for a bit as well. As the high-pressure system leaves the region, we'll likely see a return of warmer air, but that warmth will likely overrun into the cold air mass and result in some more precipitation for the region, mostly in the form of snow and probably confined in the northern parts of the area. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
The 24th annual All-Day Ag Outlook meeting on March 5th is sure to attract a crowd. We've got a great lineup of panels. We've got presentations on the changing southern U.S. farm landscape, projected land values in 2013, diversifying into livestock, and of course, our popular marketing panels on soybeans, corn, and cash grain. Guarantee your seats by calling 217-333-7300. The cost is $25 and includes a Beef House continental breakfast and lunch. When you register with your major credit card, we'll mail your tickets good for our VIP line. The number to call is 217-333-7300. All right, let's look at how futures are currently trading in the electronic market. In Kansas City, March wheat is at 828.5, down one. March wheat at the Chicago Board of Trade, 775.75, down 3/4. March corn, 720, down 3/4. July, 712.25, down 1/2. December, 584.75, up 1/2. March soybeans, 1439.75, down 1.25. July, 1416.5, down 1.25. November, $13.75, down 2.25. Now down 2.75. March soybean meal, 415.60, down 80 cents. And March soybean oil, 5206, and it is down 4 cents. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Aaron Curtis of MITCO. He is in Bloomington Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you as much for asking, sir. A real quiet market to start the week.
Yeah, it is very quiet. You know, we're continuing to watch Argentine weather here as we move through this week, kind of a critical week in terms of kind of finishing off some of the crop down in that area, expecting a little bit of rain. But as usual, the two main weather models are in some sort, a little bit of a disagreement on kind of what happens after this week. And so the market's kind of choppy, not knowing exactly what to believe right now, kind of waiting and seeing here to see what coverage levels are and what rainfall amounts here are as the week goes on, Dave.
At 1416.5, which is July soybean futures, how big of a crop has the trade factored in?
Well, I think it's factored in a pretty good size. I think you still got some very good domestic demand, obviously tight-ending stocks on this side that continues to offer some support. The fact that world-ending stocks are expected to increase and the possibility that we're going to plant some pretty good bean acres, I think all that factors in. So I think we're in some sort of a mid-range here as we move forward. But I think as we as we could begin harvest in South America and the spring planting time frame goes well here in the United States, I do think we could see some prices continue to deteriorate. But like I said, right now this next couple weeks is going to be kind of critical of what point we go either up or down from here. And I think that's why we're seeing some sideways trade in the short term, Dave.
Talk about a quiet market. If you look at corn futures, they really have traded in a fairly narrow range all through the month.
Yeah, you know, we did see some increased farmer selling as we saw March corn move up into that mid-730s mark. We kind of traded over some moving averages there in the middle of the month after the crop report. And then you're right, we've kind of settled into this sideways trade, kind of flirting with the 50-day moving average here this morning around 723 and a quarter, trading a little bit above it right now. The 100-day crosses up near 740, and that's continuing to be overhead resistance right now, Dave. But really, just look, there's just not much news. Still enough concern about demand to kind of keep a lid on the upside. But, you know, tight ending stocks continue to kind of keep a support underneath, so that really forces this sideways trade.
Thank you, Aaron.
All right, thank you, Dave. Bye.
Aaron Curtis of MITCO in Bloomington Normal, Illinois. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana.